I'm a dad of five kids, as many of you know. And I got to tell you, there is this other dad out there who is tough competition for me, especially when it comes to talking about romance or relationships or sex. And I do this for a living, you know, but this dad is, he's just tough competition. He's the dadernet. You know what I'm talking about? The internet. We are the first generation, moms and dads, we are the first generation to raise kids in a world that is both digitally connected and sexually saturated. There have been lots of cultures before us that have been sexually saturated, that have been immersed in sexual immorality. The world of the first century church was such a world. There was sexual immorality that was rampant in the church of Corinth. Rome had sexual practices that were just truly abhorrent, violent, and misogynistic. And abusive to children. So we are not the first culture to deal with a pornographic world, a pornographic mindset that looks down on people, doesn't see people, but sees objects to use sexually. But we are the first generation of parents to raise kids in a culture that's like that and also rampantly connected digitally. Our kids carry around in their pockets, in their palms, in their book bags. They take with them to the locker room and the lunchroom and sometimes to their bedroom devices that have access to that kind of sexual content. Now, what do I mean when I say that the internet is tough competition? The dadernet or the momernet is tough competition for moms and dads. I mean this. Every kid growing up will have questions about his or her body, about relationships with the same gender and the other gender. We'll have questions about sexual development as their body begins to change. We'll have questions about sex. Some of the questions that they will ask, that they will wonder about, because their normal, natural developmental questions will be, what does it mean to be a boy? What does it mean to be a girl? What's the difference between boys and girls? As they get older, they'll wonder questions like, what do boys like? What do girls like? What do guys want? What do girls want? How big should a penis get? What is the normal breast size? Is masturbation okay? How does masturbation work? They'll ask questions like, how do I know I'll be sexually satisfying to my spouse one day? What do guys want sexually? What do girls want sexually? And growing up in an age like today, where there's just lots of confusing sexual messages in the air, it's very likely they'll also ask questions like, wait, you know, kids at my school were talking about anal sex. Does anal sex hurt? What is anal sex? How does that work? They'll ask questions about oral sex. They'll ask questions about same-sex sexual contact. How does that work? How do two girls have sex? How do two guys have sex? Now, I'm not trying to be graphic here. I'm not trying to put images and ideas in your mind, parents, but I'm just being frank. These are normal questions that our kids are going to be asking. They're going to be wondering about these kinds of things. And if we are not approachable, askable parents, if we're not their go-to for conversations around those things, if we haven't done the heavy lifting to become those kinds of parents, where do you think our kids are going to take their questions? If we don't want them asking us those kinds of questions, if we don't want them asking those kinds of questions at all, where will they take those questions? They're going to take them online. They're going to take them to their phones. They're going to ask Siri. They're going to ask Google. Don't want that. Here's what I also mean by the internet being tough competition. In order for us to be askable, approachable parents, we've got to do heavy lifting. And if we don't, I'm going to talk about heavy lifting in a minute. If we don't, they'll bring their questions to the internet. And guess what they'll find? They will never catch the internet at a bad time for a question. They will never catch the internet at a bad time for their questions. The internet's never too busy to talk. The internet's never too tired to talk. It's never too late to ask the internet a question. The internet is never going to say, hey, let's talk about that later. I'm not quite prepared to have that conversation now. The internet is definitely never going to say, let's talk about that when you're older. You're too young to be asking that kind of question. You recognize how you might be willing or tempted to say those kinds of things? The internet also will never say, where'd you hear that word? The internet's never going to tell our kids they shouldn't be asking those types of questions or saying those kinds of words. They're never going to say that their friends are bad influences. The internet is never going to say, ask your father or ask your mother. The internet, and this one we got to face, the internet is never going to be embarrassed by our kids' questions, no matter how obscure, difficult, challenging, charged the questions may be. The internet is never going to have an emotional response to our kids' questions. Never going to get angry, never going to get embarrassed, never going to want to run away. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have emotions that come up when our kids ask questions. We have to recognize the internet's going to be pretty level about those things. And if our kids are already feeling embarrassed or ashamed or nervous about asking the kinds of questions, they don't want to experience our anger or our embarrassment on top of theirs, because it'll just heap on shame. And again, I'm going to talk about how we might get beyond some of these things in a minute. The internet also is never going to think less of our kids for the questions they have or the desires they feel. Now, I'm not saying that you would, but it's a normal, natural feeling that a lot of us have, and you can relate with this, I can relate with this, that sometimes if we ask a certain kinds of question, it's going to make somebody think less of us. So how do we get beyond that feeling for our kids? The internet is never going to punish our kids for their questions, never going to punish them for what they've done wrong. The internet is never going to restrict their usage. Can you imagine the internet saying, oh, you've asked that question too many times, you're searching inappropriate stuff, we're shutting down, we're going to limit your screen time. The internet's not going to do that. It's never going to limit time with their friends because of what's going on for them. Now, here's another one. The internet is never going to be stumped by our kids' questions. You know, all of us these days are growing up in a time where our kids are, they have access to information that we've never heard of. They've heard of words we've never heard of. They're going to be wondering about things. We're like, I have no idea what that is. The internet is not going to be stumped by our kids' questions. This is why we, as moms and dads, in this age, in this digital age, have to step up our game in regards to parenting kids in this generation. Our kids are going to have natural, normal curiosity when it comes to their bodies, relationships, and sex. And we want to be the kinds of people in their lives they're going to want to come to with their questions. Now, what are some things that we can do to become approachable and askable? First thing we can do is we can start young. Let's begin having conversations with our kids. And I notice I say conversations, plural, not conversation. Too often we put all our money in the bank of one conversation, and we feel so much pressure in that conversation, and our kids feel so much pressure in that conversation, that it's just too intense. Many of you listening, can remember a conversation you had with your parent. One conversation that was so uncomfortable for your parents and so uncomfortable for you that you and your parents were glad when it was over. We don't want that kind of conversation with our kids. We want to have regular, ongoing, comfortable, non-anxious conversations with our kids, starting when they're very young. Age-appropriate conversations. Lots of them. The more conversations we have, guess what's going to happen? The more we talk about stuff like this with our kids, the more our kids are going to feel comfortable, and the more we're going to feel comfortable. So if you try to have a conversation with your kids, you're feeling uncomfortable, take it as a sign not you shouldn't have those conversations, or not you're not the person for the conversation, but that you just need to have more conversations so you begin to feel more and more comfortable. Now, I say that fully recognizing that even today, having lots of conversations with my kids, I can still feel uncomfortable. But I would rather be the one feeling uncomfortable, having them feel uncomfortable to the point where they're bringing the questions away from me into the internet. Next up, we begin young. We have lots of conversations. Those are two things. Next up, we find adults around us to help bear our insecurities and our burdens. So if you've got hangups from your past, your present in the area of sexuality, that is definitely going to be something kids sniff out, and it's going to obstruct you from being able to be comfortable with the kid. So you need to find adults who can walk with you, who can help carry your burden so you're not placing it on your kids, so that burden's not getting in the way of your having helpful conversations with your kids, including the discomfort you feel just talking to your kids about it. Go ahead and talk to your spouse if you can. Talk to other adults in your life about how it is to talk to your kids. Practice stuff. I got to tell you, I have friends and colleagues that we have conversations about how to talk to our kids about these things. It's been so helpful to just frame it up with some other adults, talk through stuff. We bounce ideas off each other, and it just helps us to engage more winsomely and kindly, gently, non-anxiously with our kids. So those are just three ideas about how you can get in the game with your kids. I also, shameless plug here, want to encourage you to pick up a copy of the new book I've written with Daniel Weiss called Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World. there's just so much in that book. It is chock full. And here's the idea behind the book. We do not believe that your kids need us. They don't need me and my co-author. They need you, parents. They need you. And so this book is designed to equip you and empower you to be all you can be and to bring your full self to your kid because they need you in this age. If they don't have you, they're going to take their questions, their concerns, their problems, their shame somewhere else. And that somewhere else most likely will be the internet. That's going to be sending them into a more confused, more shameful, more addictive place. You don't want that for your kids. Now, listen, I said that the internet is tough competition when it comes to this realm. But I want to close on an encouraging word. All the more reason for you to get into this more seriously with your kids. Because in very specific ways, you are also much, much more equipped than the internet will ever be. You are tough competition for the internet in these ways. The internet is never, never really going to listen to you. They're never really going to listen to your kids. The internet's never really going to attune to the tone of voice that your kids use. They're never going to hear the tone, the crack in your voice. They're never going to attune to your kids' facial expression as they're talking about these things. The internet will never attune to know if your kid's feeling embarrassed or ashamed or sad or hurt or angry around these things. You can do that. The internet is never going to embrace your kids when they're feeling dirty, when their bodies are feeling abused or misused. You can embrace your kid and help their bodies to feel loved. The internet will never be able to do that for kids. The internet's never going to be able to give your kids grace and love when they've fallen short or rebelled. In fact, the internet, all it can do is invite them deeper into the mess that they've been in. It'll move them further away from the light, but you can give them grace and love so they can enter into community again and walk in the light. The internet also is never going to pick them up from school, make them their favorite dinner, invite them to do something fun, let them borrow the car. Even after your kids have messed up, even after they've asked tough questions and feel embarrassed, even after they've been ashamed, the internet's never going to be able to show them that their failures do not define them in your eyes. The internet is just going to give them more and more reason to believe that this is all who they are, that what they've been pursuing is all that they are. You know what the internet does when you look at stuff on it, right? There's algorithms that go on, there's programming that's in there. So they're more and more likely to see that content when they go back to online. But you can help your son or daughter recognize there's so much more to them. You don't see them, some of their failures. And finally, all this sums up to the internet is never going to embody Jesus to your kids. You and you alone can be like the father of the prodigal son. The internet can't do that. The internet is much more likely to be like that distant country that leaves your kids feeling disconnected, dirty, alone, lonely, ashamed, and far from where they want to be. You can be like the father. So Jesus, I pray for every mom and dad listening, they'd be encouraged, or they would know that they alone can incarnate something for their kids. Internet cannot for them. So Lord, however intimidated we may feel in this age, however overwhelmed and threatened we may feel by how quote unquote good parent, dad or net, mom or net, internet may be for our kids, Lord, it doesn't hold a candle to your design. We are your chosen people, Lord. We are the chosen ones to pour into our kids in ways moms and dads, only moms and dads can. So moms and dads, I bless you to walk with your sons and daughters. You are the one for this job. Thanks for listening in. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. And as always, thanks for joining me for Becoming Whole. I'm Josh Glazer. I'll see you next time.